not going to have enough time to talk about like all this stuff. Can you stay on for like almost an hour?
Sure, that would be fine.
Okay, good. Yeah.
Awesome. Great.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff to cover, boy. Half an hour is not enough, even 45 minutes. Yeah, it's all about reality. People don't want to live in reality. Well, they want to make up their own reality.
Yep.
Okay, Kat, you might want to make sure your cameras are off. We have
Mine's off.
7 seconds. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Good evening. Welcome again to this Tuesday edition of Organic News here on Awake Radio. We have a really special guest tonight. Very, very interesting. Talks about all my favorite stuff. Things that we should be, should be like more of a household term rather than, just living in all this conflict that we live in. Anyway, Mark Passio, I'm just going to read a little bit from his website. He's done extensive research and investigation into the nature of our shared reality. Through my perceptions, videos, and podcasts, Mark takes guests on a journey of self-exploration, examining human consciousness and the way it relates to universal problems which we currently face as a species. Some of the questions Mark attempts to answer: who are we? What is our purpose? Why do we hold certain beliefs? Why do we tend to see ourselves and others in a certain way? Why do we act the way that we do towards ourselves and others? What does any of this have to do with the events that we experience in our world? Having successfully begun his work as a presenter of the message of spiritual awareness, now Mark is taking a proactive approach to the task of spreading significant information to others. This has resulted in one of the website being called "What on Earth is Happening? A Penetrating Analysis into the Realm of Human Consciousness." And then it just goes on to list concepts and ideas that you explore from the components of your own consciousness. Sovereignty and anarchy really mean, forces of dark occultism at work in our lives. So, Mark Passio, welcome to Awake Radio.
Catherine, thank you so much for inviting me onto the show. It's great to be here today.
Yeah, you're such a busy guy. I think I booked you at least a month or so ago, if not even 2 months ago, I think.
Oh, things are hectic, definitely. I'm definitely keeping busy.
Good for you. I mean, I'm really glad for you, like that you, I mean, you must get like packed audiences when you go around teaching all this stuff.
Well, sometimes, some crowds are bigger than others, but recently, the venues that I've spoken at, it's been a full house, so I'm happy with the turnouts that I've gotten, and it's been very good receptions as well. The people are very receptive to the message, and they are really open to learning new things, and the speaking, the live speaking engagements have been going very well recently.
So how did you get involved in all of this stuff? Tell us your story.
Well, it's very interesting. My background is extraordinarily dark, and that for some people really intrigues them and makes them sit up and pay attention because I have sort of a low-level insider perspective, you might say. And then other people, it kind of turns them off because they hear about my background and they don't think that people can change, and that therefore I must still be in that kind of a mindset or working with the individuals I formerly did. But essentially, what happened was I was born into a Roman Catholic family in South Philadelphia, on the east coast of the United States, and in my youth, I pretty much accepted without any great amount of questioning a lot of the religious dogma that I was given by family members and school teachers and people around me, in my general environment. you know, there were the kind of people that didn't really question the status quo that I was around growing up. They just accepted things. And, you know, this is what we were taught by our parents. This is what we teach to our children. We don't question it. It's just repeated by rote, you know.
Exactly. No questions asked. Exactly. Right.
No real critical thinking going on there. Just, you know, blind faith kind of. And you know, essentially taught me what they had been taught. It wasn't out of malice, you know, it was really out of ignorance. And when I realized that religion was all about a control system and, you know, basically controlling how people think, once I really reached an age where I started to question things, I still lacked a lot of the knowledge, the framework of what religion, worldwide religions, or you might call them cultural religions, really were, because I knew nothing about astrotheology at that time. You know, I knew nothing about the established order of the world, you know, as we're experiencing it. I knew nothing about that entire framework of the world at that time. That knowledge could have really helped put a lot of the former religious indoctrination that I had gone through into perspective, but instead, my questioning of that former indoctrination turned into anger and rage, and I started to seek out, gravitating to the exact opposite of that whole belief system. You know, I wanted to find the dark side of things, and I found it in a really big way in the form of dark occultism and Satanism, dark occultism in general. So I became attracted to the Church of Satan, which is an organization on the west coast of the United States that was run then by the former high priest Anton LaVey, who is famous for his works like the Satanic Bible. I started espousing that satanic ideology, and I started putting it out to other people through writing, music, writing in magazines and fanzines, and in musical, lyrics in bands that I had been in my youth. And some of my work was recognized by the Satanic Church, recognized by LaVey and the Church of Satan. And he actually contacted me and wanted to appoint me as a priest in the Church of Satan. And I, you know, saw that as a great honor then because of my ideology that I was in, this real egoic ideology, you know, a total trance-like mindset of pure selfishness and ego. And as, you know, I accepted the priesthood, and he wanted me to start my own what they call grottos. Grottos are what they call covens in Satanism. And I really didn't want to be involved or start my own coven. I didn't want that kind of responsibility then. And I kind of looked at Satanism, the whole ideology of Satanism, which we could get into what it is later. I kind of looked at it as a very individualistic thing, and I didn't really want to be involved too much in group dynamics, but I did want to check it out. So through other Satanists that I had been communicating with in this area, I became involved in different grottos in my tri-state region. And when my involvement in these different grottos around this area grew, I became aware that this wasn't an isolated group of individuals who were just working with some occult or hidden knowledge for their own personal agendas, you know, of just, you know, gaining some individual power over their fellow human beings. It was that, but it was much more. These were very tightly knit, connected, different groups. They were comprised of an array of every single social institution that is of any power or influence in the world. There were people who were involved in those institutions that were involved in these satanic grottos. You name the institution, and there were Satanists involved in it. Banking, military, law enforcement, entertainment, politics, law.
What do the grottos do? What is the Satanic church.
They essentially met to do favors for each other, increase their own personal power, conduct rituals. They believed in energy transference and psychodramatic rituals that they performed on at certain times of the year. There was a lot of symbolic trappings involved with it. It was a whole lot of interconnected mindsets. They got together to perform what they considered what they called what was known as a mastermind. A mastermind, as the average person thinks about it, is one person who's just, you know, kind of like a maybe a genius or, you know, has a big plan or a scheme, and then they orchestrate it with a bunch of other people. That's not how they considered a mastermind dynamic or energy in Satanism. They considered that a whole lot of people coming together with a similar agenda, with intense focus and willpower that was exerted toward that agenda, all working together seamlessly. And when they did that, they increased all of their collective power, and they did this ruthlessly at the expense of anybody else's rights and freedom, and that was their whole common goal.
Well, if I could just say really quickly, sure. That, I mean, that's kind of, you know, obvious that that goes on in society, and yet nobody calls it Satanism. They call it like business as usual, you know?
Right. But there is religious ideology associated with this, very specific ideological tenets that constitute a religious belief system. And we could get into what those are. And these are consciously known, consciously propagated in Satanism. In normal society, I have attempted to explain to people that these same ideological tenets, which I'll name in a few moments, are propagated throughout society, but most people don't identify them as Satanism. It's almost kind of like a dynamic where people don't know what communism is and could be a part of propagating a communist mindset because they aren't aware of what the ideology really is. Well, the same goes for Satanism. There are so many people out in society who are living a satanic ideological lifestyle and have no idea that that's what they are actually practicing.
I think the whole monetary system is satanic.
It absolutely is. I mean, that's one thing that is certainly conducted according to satanic ideological tenets or principles, you might say.
Exactly. I mean, it's because it's being used as a weapon. It's being used as a weapon against people rather than a tool that serves people.
Sure.
So, you know, anything that's, I mean, you know, it's a note of dead. I mean, they create it out of nothing and then expand it and loan it out at interest to keep people in debt. I mean, so that sounds pretty satanic.
Sure. It's just done to control others so that the people who conduct this system can profit and expand their sphere of power at the expense of everybody else's freedom. And that's, again, what the collective common goal of the whole satanic hierarchy that I had become involved with at a very low level, admittedly, was all about. You know, and
it's definitely not a system of love.
Not at all. It's all about self care only. You know, just being totally self absorbed and being completely, focused on what's in it for me. It's a me ideology.
Yeah, why did you want to get involved in that?
Well, when I first became disillusioned by organized religion, what I call cultural religion, when I recognized it as a control system, and I began looking into the alternative to that, I guess you could say the exact polar opposite of that, I found Satanism, and it was attractive to me because what it really talked about, if you really study the real Satanism, not what people think of as Satanism in Hollywood, as it's propagated by Hollywood, like kids going out into the woods and, you know, burning animals or lighting bonfires and reciting some incantations, you know. That's not real Satanism.
Animal sacrifices or human sacrifices.
I'm not saying that things like that may not go on at higher levels of organized Satanism, but what I'm talking about is ideological Satanism, and what it does is it essentially sets the ego up as the god because it doesn't look at any higher force or power in creation other than humanity. So if humanity is the highest power in all of creation, well then ultimately what our greatest goal should be is to serve the self. because that's all there is. And there's nothing after death, and, you know, everything is just about survival. It comes out of a very Darwinistic mindset, actually, and it's all about self-preservation. That's its number one tenet. Now, I was in this mindset because the people around me in my life were of this mindset at a very lower level. Okay, albeit not very consciously aware of that and manipulated into it, but nonetheless, they were propagating the same similar ideology at a very low level. And if you look around society, you'll see it is a me society. It is a society that people don't care about what happens to other people. People don't care about what's right or good. They just care about what's in it for them. That is a satanic mindset, and most people are in it.
And I, again, if I could just sort of interject briefly, like, I've been trying to go in the complete opposite direction, like, most of my life, because, I mean, I grew up in an environment that was, like, everyone for yourself, right, like, at an early age, domestic violence, and, I mean, I went to Catholic school, you know, when I was a kid and all that stuff, and, you know, I learned like yoga, meditation, and I got into all of this stuff, you know, fairly early, in the 80s. And I was like getting into this, like, you know, we're all connected kind of stuff. Like, we're all, there is no separation. And I'm over there, like, you know, just trying to have peace and connect with everyone. Just like completely naive just really like trying to bring everyone together and treat people the way I want to be treated, and trying to, you know, move what you know, the world in that sort of a direction, right. Like,
which is a godly ideology instead of a satanic one, you know.
Yeah,
at its basic tenets, you know.
Right, but when you're going up against people that are like living from that division, and they're living from that. Me first, and we're all separated, and it's overly competitive, and I have to get ahead at your expense mentality, where, I mean, you know, again, if I really believe in yoga practice, like, I can't even tell you, because I just think that our human body is just like a subsystem, and, you know, the earth is just a larger system, and that we really are like all like connected body parts on this earth, and that when you give, you know, and take care of other people, you actually benefit.
Of
when
course.
You take care of the earth, you know, you benefit.
Yes.
I mean, like, I was like learning, I don't know, like, what the hell I was reading, but that's what I was learning. And, you know, it was sort of like a gut instinct. I mean, I guess because I didn't have any family, like, when I was growing up. So I was really, like, hungry for connection,
right,
and, like, love. I was, like, I'm, you know, like, love-starved. And, you know, there's, like, no compassion in the world. It's, like, if I grew up like that in my own house, where it's, like, everyone for yourself, I didn't want to live like that for the rest of my life. I was,
right,
like, oh, my God, you know? I mean, I want to freaking, you know, like have family, like, have, you know, extended family, community. I mean, you have to have community, for God's sake. You can't just be... like screwing people, because that does come back to you. Natural law, like, it's right. It's all about the laws of nature is really what's running everything.
Sure, because we are all interconnected, and the energy that we put out into the universe is what we're going to ultimately receive back from it, because that's going to be the dynamic of the environment that we build together, you know,
but
is going to be composed of how we all are individually. And that's why we're living in a satanic culture right now. Most people have this mindset of separateness and non-connectedness and me first mentality.
And it's completely diseased. I mean, it's a complete cancerous, it's cancer. I mean,
sure.
if I don't know, like, what's the stage beyond cancer? I don't know. Stage 4 or 5 cancer. I mean, I don't even know what to call, like, what disease is, like, worse than cancer.
Yeah, it's something that's just eating humanity from the inside out, because we cannot shake this mindset. The mindset is what people are stuck in, and that's what's dictating this reality that we're experiencing together that is based in slavery and control and oppression and inequality and, you know, just exploitation of other people. And the list goes on and on.
And, I read, like, so many, you know, psych books, like, on the family system, the dysfunctional family system, you know, contrasted with how a healthy, you know, interpersonal relationships are supposed to function.
Right.
And, you know, just recently I started reading a book that I actually never read that someone, you know, recommended. I was always familiar with the author Alice Miller, but I never read any of her books. And so I started to read a book called For Your Own Good, Hidden Cruelty and Child Rearing and the Roots of Violence. Because the family system was always like the most interesting and right, like the root of where everything comes from, like where the way that we're treated, like the interactions, the exchange, like I call it the exchange rate, you know, that we get from our parents. Like when we have feelings or needs, how do your parents respond? You know, do they rob you? Do they validate your needs and feelings? Or do they minimize, you know, do they put their own needs ahead of yours? And, you know, like if you're having these interactions with your caregivers over, you know, so many years, you know, you can really come out sort of, you know, just like the banks, you know, you can come out kind of robbed and depleted and having your energy like taken away from you after so many years, you know, depending, you know, and you know, as if we just look at the way the world that we live in now, I mean, it's not rocket science that, right, the way that we're brought up is to have all kinds of, you know, competition and be at someone else's expense.
You know, and this whole dynamic, it's going on in every single place all over the world, pretty much. It's not an isolated thing. It's not a small collection of people. There's people in this mindset in every walk of life, and many of them seek out this type of a dynamic like I did. You know, you had asked me originally, why did I get involved? Well, in that mindset of separation and desire for power over other people, you know, to increase my own power and my own capabilities, that attracted me to this ideology because it basically openly states in a lot of its tenets that it's all about serving the self, increasing the self's personal power at the expense of anyone that you have to basically run roughshod over to do it, and ultimately being able to manipulate other people. Now, that looked attractive to me because if you know more about the mind and how it works than other people, and you have a whole lot of knowledge about how the human mind, the human psyche works and operates, and other people really don't because they've never really done any introspection upon themselves. They've never really looked at the different psychological dynamics that may be taking place within them or around them. That kind of a knowledge differential will ultimately create a power differential. And that's exactly what these types of dark occult networks are doing. They're using their knowledge about how human psychology really works and exploiting that knowledge and using it as a weapon against other people to basically keep them under their thumb and under control.
You know, and sometimes like that's why I feel like I'm not like really getting anywhere because I'm not trying to, you know, to get over on people. Like I'm always like trying to relate to people at a purely, you know, almost, I don't know, just platonic sort of innocent, you know, way. You know, I'm not like, you know, I maybe have like too much of a habit of, you know, even maybe just being too good to other people, like at my own expense, you know?
Well, I mean, you know, I'm all for altruism toward others, but I don't think you could let it, you know, completely drag you down. In order to help other people, you have to be kind of, you know, in a position where you can extend that help without, you know, being completely destroyed or anything like that. I wouldn't suggest self-destructive altruism, but certainly if you're in a position to help others, I think there is a responsibility to reach out and do so. You know, this ideology totally frowns on anything like that. And it's There's four basic tenets, okay? Now, you know, when I as a brief aside before we get into the tenets, when I realized how I got out of this is when I realized that this was a psychological vetting and filtration system for a worldwide hierarchical system of control. That's really what Satanism was all about. You know, people ask me all the time, well, you're saying the Church of Satan controls the world? No, that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm saying the Church of Satan is a very low-level organization that is connected at a low level on its hierarchy, on the ladder, to much higher-level think tanks, groups in politics, groups in military, groups in banking, that ultimately are all interconnected in some way and are working toward a worldwide system of totalitarian control. Okay? So it's a very interconnected grouping of networks of different organizations. It's not one organization or thing. And when I became aware that I was involved at a low level in such an organization, my conscience, the amount of it that was still active in me, would not allow me to proceed further, and I started to vocalize my discomfort with the whole agenda. And when I did that, the others involved at a higher level, they weren't concerned at all. They said, well, there's the door. Don't let it hit you in the rear end on the way out. And good luck trying to explain to anybody what you think you know about what we do, or, you know, trying to explain to people what's really going on about how we are in control and we manipulate them. Because even if we explained it to them, they're so brainwashed, they're so dumbed down, they're so unaware, they wouldn't understand it or accept it from the people who are doing it. If they told them exactly what they're doing and how, they still wouldn't grasp how that they were being mind controlled. That's how totally under their spell that they feel they have the human species. And so they just let me walk because, you know, I didn't have any knowledge about, quote unquote, where the bodies were buried. I hadn't been involved in any kind of a dynamic of criminal enterprises at that level. It was purely ideological at the level I became involved with it years ago. It was just like, goodbye, boy, and you think we need you? You know,
exactly.
Take off.
Okay. Yeah, so they're so confident that they have pretty much, right, their reach is so far that exactly, like, they're not worried about anybody countering their weight to tip them out of balance at all.
You know, I don't perceive, more likely than not, I don't see that that has changed. I still think they probably are that arrogant and do see it like there's nothing that could ever break our power. And I'm not saying that to put fear in anybody or discourage anybody. I'm just saying the vast minority of people, the tiny minority of people, really understand how the dynamic of Satanism works in the world. And, you know, this is largely because this image of Satanism that's propagated by Hollywood still prevails. We have to understand what it really is. Then we could see how pervasive it is if we understand what the ideology entails. So let's generally look at some of the main ideological tenets, the foundational principles, you might call them. I'm loath to even call them principles. It's just an ideology. I feel a true principle is based in truth and something that can do no harm and goodness. So these are what you might call dark principles or dark tenets of this religion. And the first is self-preservation above all else. Since there is no spirit, they look at everything as materialistic. Survival comes first and foremost. That's the highest law. That's the highest good for them. And nothing can get in the way of, you know, your self-preservation, even if it means you have to step on other people's rights, even if it means somebody else has to be harmed for you to prosper, even if it means somebody else has to lose for you to win, it doesn't make a difference. There is no right or wrong when it comes to that. If it means that you get a tactical advantage, you take it, okay? And connected with that, directly connected with that first ideological tenet is the second, which is morals are essentially made up by human beings. So what Satanism believes the satanic religion believes is that there is such a thing called moral relativism, that morals are just invented constructs. Right and wrong are invented constructs. There is no actual objective right or wrong that exists in nature. It's just we get to make it up. So if something is good for us, then we call that good. And if something is bad for us, then that's what we call bad. But it doesn't actually make a difference who's harmed or who's not harmed. So in other words, if someone is exercising their rights of free will or speaking or whatever other practice, and that doesn't benefit me, then I want to try to stop that person from doing that. And that would be a right for me to do because, you know, that person is somehow impacting what I want to do negatively.
Well, yeah, but it's all about, you know, like balance. I mean, it's all about people having, you know, their fair share of, you know, rights and balance. And you know, in this society, you know, the haves that have way, way more than they need. And it's usually the people that have way more than they need that want to stop, you know, the one who's only reaching for their rightful crumb. You know, to even have that much.
Sure. This ideology of more, and it doesn't make a difference who gets hurt. It doesn't make a difference who has to do without. Okay? If it benefits me, then that's what's right and good. And this is the ideology of moral relativism. It's essentially, We can't look at any kind of an objective code or standard of right and wrong. That we throw out the window. You know, it's whatever benefits me is good. Whatever it makes me less comfortable or, you know, less powerful, then that's what's bad. Okay?
See, but that could, like, what you just said right there, I feel like, you know, can really be up for debate because people think that things are benefiting them, what it not necessarily is. I mean,
sure.
You know, addicts, because to me, the powers that be and all this, you know, the satanic stuff that you're talking about is really, these people are addicts. They are like this,
yeah.
The most severe form of addiction that...
Yes.
That can possibly exist, you know, on such a scale.
It's pure ego addiction. It's ego attachment. And this is a...
Anything that challenges them, of course they're going to see it as, like, you know, a threat to them.
Right.
And them getting more and more is
because
benefiting them. But challenging them is actually benefiting them.
Ultimately, you know? It's a fear-based mindset. And it's a mindset that is... Very left brain imbalanced. This is a pure left brain imbalanced mindset. There's no holistic balance to this of the right brain, nurturing, compassion, etc. That's not part of it.
Right, that's what I'm saying. It's like fitness really helped me at a really early age. I got into running and weight training like a long time ago because of the... You know, when you resist against, you know, inanimate objects, you know that you're getting a true reading from physics, natural law, whatever you want to call it. You know, you're not getting some skewed feedback from some person that's just making up shit. And, you know, that was like, to me, it's like putting a knife in a sharpener and just like sharpening yourself because you're aligning yourself. And why I love yoga practice so much, because, you know, the more you do it and you have a relationship to just, you know, the laws of nature, like when you go skiing. I mean, I really wonder sometimes, this might sound really silly, but sometimes like I wonder how in God's name do the 1% or the 1% of the 1% or whatever you want to call these people, the corporatocracy, how do they like function when they say, like, I don't know, go play golf or go play tennis and they suck? I mean, are they going to like, you know, try to whatever, like, you know, have physics like bow to them or something, because obviously it's not going to do it, you know? So like, how do they function like without having a complete hissy fit when, you know, they go skiing and physics doesn't bow to them because they're fucking, you know, David Koch or something.
They take that out on other people around them. That's how they function. That's how they do it. You know, they're not concerned with, you know, their inadequacies. All they do is they nest that down deep into the subconscious mind. They bury it. They don't deal with any of it. And then they try to just exercise control over other people as a way to make up for that perceived inadequacy, you know?
Right, because exactly. Like, you know, human beings, like, that's what really pisses me off is that, you know, because I believe that people, you know, should be giving feedback to, you know, whatever you want to call them. I never know what the hell to call them. You know, people with money, your boss even, and just give them true feedback. It's like, why should we, you know, coddle them or kowtow to them because they have money and then, you know, put yourself into like a psychological or like a self-dignity deficit.
Right. It creates a total disconnect. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I used to do massage therapy for some, maybe I shouldn't say that. I'm not going to, I'll just give it like part of the story. I used to do massage therapy for like some pretty well-known, you know, musicians and bands and things, you know, like yoga therapy and massage therapy. And one friend that I had who did the lights, worked the lights, he set up the lights for a particular musician and toured all over the place with this particular musician, would tell me how everybody would just, you know, tippy toe around this guy, you know, and he would have, you know, be having like whatever kind of outbursts or tantrums or whatever. And of course, you know, because everybody's like afraid for their job, you know, so no one is going to stand up to this person and just give them like some honest feedback. And how, like, you know, that going on for, you know, years, you know, and what that creates, like what that does, and the unfairness that is even to the person with the power and the money is just, and we're like literally turning people into psychotics.
Yeah, it creates a pecking order, you know? It's, And they believe in this pecking order, you know, that actually kind of parlays right into the next tenet of Satanism, which is social Darwinism. That's their whole social structure that they imagine should exist, you know. They believe that they're coming into the level of power that they have come into in their lives because of family connections, money, etc., business practices, whatever, that they think that means that they are genetically superior to other people and that they should be the rulers over other people who are not, have not had the advantages that they have had in the world. And they, you know, this again, it stems out of a Darwinistic mindset of, you know, everything is just physical matter. It's all about just the interactions of particles in the physical world. There's no underlying energy or intelligence to it. There's no spirit. There's no soul, you know? And so it's all about survival. That right and wrong, they're meaningless. And then therefore, the class that is in a more advantageous position should have the right to rule over the people below them because they look at it as their DNA got them to that advantageous position. That's how they look at it. You know, they don't look at it as a cultural mindset, you know, and a mindset of power dynamics through religious beliefs and things like money, you know, and social status, etc. You know, and then they take that to the final conclusion, this whole social Darwinism dynamic that, they want to take macrobiological Darwinian theory and then apply it in the human social domain, you know. They then bring that all the way around full circle to what is known as eugenics. These are eugenicists, you know. These are people who believe that they should have the right to decide who lives and who dies, who propagates their genes and who does not, you know.
It's clear that they are definitely assuming the role of God, without a doubt. I mean, they think that they're God. But if they were like a real God, I mean, see, like, I don't know, like, I hear what you say, and I definitely, you know, believe that that's what they believe, but...
This is exactly their ideology. Their ideology is that they are God, that they can become like God in every way. In the God that they don't believe in, but the powers that are ascribed to that God, okay, they want to become like that. They think that they are going, you know, many of them will say, God doesn't exist, but it's going to, because we're going to become it. You know, that's actually their mentality. And, what I'm trying to explain to people is there's so many average people who are actually really trapped in this same mindset at a lower level and don't understand that's where they're at. How many people believe in Darwinism? How many people don't really know definitively and can understand definitively the difference between right and wrong and state it and be right about the definition of what a right is and what a wrong is? How many people believe in social Darwinism and, you know, would trade places in the pecking order with any of these psychopathic quote-unquote rulers in a heartbeat if they could? How many people would take advantage of other people and just, you know, step on anybody else's rights and freedom to get what they want? See, we're in the mindset, we keep referring to it as them or they, and yeah, there is a satanic network where this is going on really openly and consciously, but I'm trying to explain to people our entire society is infected with this ideology. It's everywhere. Yeah. It's not just in a small elite clique. You know, that's the expression that is ultimately ruling us, because we're all, not all, but the vast majority of us are thinking this way. So the universe is going to arrange that as above, so below principle, that principle of correspondence. It's saying, well, if this is how you think at a much lower level, but collectively throughout all the individuals or the vast majority of the individuals of a society, the universe is going to arrange for us to look into a mirror, and it's going to say, well, you think that you can become God, or can, you know, not, you don't even have to think you can become God, but you think that it's all just about you. It's all about living life just for the pleasure principle, just for the comfort that you can extrapolate from it. You know, it's all about pleasure, comfort, serving your base instincts, you know, food, pleasure, sex, money, greed, power. And I mean, now it's going to be reflected back to you as a society.
Yeah.
And it's going to be done by the people who have really formalized this ideology and practice it as a religion are going to become the rulers, and you're going to be their slaves. And until we get out of this mindset as a people, you know, and help people to understand, help people all around us to understand, family members, friends are in this ideology or in this mindset and don't even know that it's Satanism. I tell people all the time, my family members are Satanists and do not know that they are Satanists. There are so many people in my family that have this basic ideology, albeit at a lower level, not at a conscious, vindictive, vicious level, like a psychopathic level, okay? Like you would see in dark occultism or Satanism formally. But what I call the ideology that's operating in society is, I call it mini-me Satanism. If Satanism, the real form of Satanism that's ruling the world is Dr. Evil, you know, from the Austin Powers movie. Well, then the form of Satanism that's operating all throughout society is mini-me, okay? I call it mini-me Satanism. That's my little, you know, funny analogy to try to get people to understand how they're just operating at a lower level with the same basic mindset, and that's what allows it to propagate and continue.
Okay, I just have this one thing to say, which has been bugging the shit out of me my whole life, is that it's so obvious, though, that people are not living to their full potentials, that they're not really, you know, self-actualized like Maslow used to talk about, and they're not full adults. And so that it's, you know, it's so obvious to see that people are just kind of following along something, and so they're not, you know, using all of what they have, and that something is guiding them. Something is, you know, this undertow, so to speak, is just taking them along, that they're not questioning. I mean, it's, I don't think that you have to look that far to really see. You know, I wonder sometimes, you know, everyone, you know, since the Occupy movement started, everyone's talking about the banks and Wall Street and these people don't pay any taxes, and Bank of America hasn't paid any taxes in so many years or whatever. But I'm like, you know, and the Federal Reserve, blah, 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 blah. But you don't have to know about the Koch brothers or Bank of America or Wall Street to know that there's something so wrong with this world. I mean, I knew it when I was 6 years old that we're not being brought up to be to be individuals, to think for ourselves, right, to have critical thinking. I mean, it was like a no-brainer. And I was saying it, I was literally saying it to everyone around me when I was like 7 years old, and everybody, they would make excuses, oh, your parents can't teach you because nobody taught them, as if that's some kind of like valid excuse, right, when, you know, that's exactly my point. You shouldn't be passing on ignorance to the next generation.
And, you know, most people will never look six inches in front of their face. They're all about the next meal, the next day's work, you know, the comfort that they can provide for themselves for this night, you know, and that's it. The food for the day, you know.
How is that comfortable? I mean, I'm like ready to like rip out of my skin all the time.
It isn't. It's called living as an animal lives. That's not a human way of life. That's an animalistic way of life. And again, that's what this whole ideology is about. That since there's no spirit, there's no soul, there's no higher form of consciousness, there's no higher power in the world, there's no underlying intelligence in nature, there's no interconnectivity between everything, okay? We are just an animalistic biological life form struggling to survive. That's the Darwinian model that Satanism is based upon, okay? And it then just comes into its full fruition as we're going to extend this model to the social sphere of humanity. And we're going to all live as animalistic beasts, as an animal might live in the field, okay? That's the whole mindset. And if people continue to see themselves as just an animal, which a human being is not just an animal. A human being has an animal component to their being, and then there is the human component that makes them completely distinct from the animal kingdom, okay? That gives us capabilities that animals do not possess. And one of those is to be able to, through our own willpower, create order in our environment, whereas an animal doesn't really do that, okay? They are at the whim of natural forces, and they're at the whim of their own instincts. We have instincts, but we also have a capacity for holistic intelligence, meaning intellect plus creativity. And when we exercise that, we can become more than just the animalistic component of our being. We can become truly, like you said, self-actualized and become a true human being. The problem is most people are so stuck in this Darwinistic, satanic, purely survival-based mindset, self-serving mindset, that they are actually degrading themselves to the level of just an animal and living a lifestyle that is an animalistic lifestyle.
But if I could say this, I actually think that we are not in touch with our animal enough. And like, if we really kind of lived closer to the way animals live, we would be more in balance. Because animals do everything to maintain the homeostasis. I mean, they just kill enough for what they can eat. You know, they're not going to, like, be gluttonous and have more than they can even, like, use in a lifetime. So, like, that's where the whole addiction comes in. Sure. So it's...
It goes beyond. Like, it goes even beyond just an animalistic instinct. It becomes purely self-destructive. That's what evil always does. When you go into the satanic mindset, which propagates evil ultimately, all it does is turn in upon itself. It's the entropic, chaotic force that exists in nature. And that's what Satan really is. In the Hebrew language, the ancient Hebrew language, the word Satan meant the one who opposes. That's all. It's the thing that is coming at you and trying to stop you from where you want to go. The opposing force. That's called entropy. That's the force of disorder and chaos in society or in life in general. If we use the will of creation, if we align ourselves with the will of creation, which is consciousness, which is higher awareness, which is love, which is creativity and compassion, and true intelligence, then we're exercising the syntropic force in nature, which is the ordering principle. It's the thing that helps us to better ourselves through living together in harmony with natural law, right, with creating technologies that serve us instead of control and pollute the planet, you know?
I really believe that, you know, the powers that be, and a lot of people, most people, are taught to be at war with their own natures, with their body. It's this, the mind-body interaction. It's like people... They're taught, you know, to be in their heads and then to be at war with their own natural feelings.
Sure.
And then take that out on society because, you know, in the Alice Miller book that I'm reading, she talks about, she refers back to, like, books that were written, in, like, the 1700s and 1800s about, you know, like normal, you know, parenting was to... You know, of course, break the spirit of the child, like when they're, you know, when they're early enough, you know, before they know what's happening to them. And it's all about, like, just, like, manipulation and control and, how to, you know, just break your child and putting, the parent's needs before the child.
Right.
When the child is just, you know, too young to know what's happening to them and how... when people get older, of course they learn to treat themselves the way that they were treated. Right. So
this is the victim abuse cycle, and this goes on. This kind of traumatic abuse goes on in what is known as generational Satanism or generational satanic families. It's not really practiced so much in the ideological kind of Satanism that I was involved in, but it does go on at higher levels of that hierarchy. So. Yeah, what you're talking about is what I've referred to as parental abandonment issues, you know, and we all are carrying these at some level because in almost all cases, parents, there's a lack of parenting in today's world, and whether parents are present or not, they're not providing really the psychological needs, providing for the psychological needs of the child, for the emotional needs of the child, for the spiritual needs of the child, even if they are present physically and provide physical creature comforts, that's not everything that a child needs in their developmental years, for certain, for sure.
Today, with, we don't have the luxury of having, like, one parent stay home like they did, you know, some decades ago with, today with two parents working and, you know, all these kids are like have ADD and autism. And, it's like I think the overstimulation and just like the pressure, you know, that we're passing on to the next generation is just increasing, like generation by generation, the level of debt, the amount of like psychological and physical, you know, deficit that we're passing down to the generations is just, you know, like these kids, you know, like going and shooting people and everything. I mean, what do you expect people to act like when their bodies know? Like that's, you know, I'm always saying, like, the body doesn't lie. Like, nature doesn't lie. Your body knows, even if your mind doesn't want to admit it.
Right.
You know, meditation, you know, and just sitting in quiet and just listening, just, you know, listen to what you feel. Like, let yourself just feel what you feel, whatever it is. And, you know, like, because that's the body just trying to, you know, alert you to things. And, you know, people have just been so conditioned to just, you know, this, you know, over patriarchal world that,
sure,
just over, like, you know, glorifies the intellect over the body and emotions. And, oh, we have to, like, completely control nature and the body and our emotions. That's what's destroying,
sure,
the world. I mean, if we just have a more harmonious mind-body connection and trusting the wisdom of nature, I mean, you know, this, I don't know. To me, it's not that complicated, really.
This me mindset, it also gets us totally rooted in a fight-or-flight mechanism. You know, it's all about a stress reaction that's constantly going on in the body that we never really escape from. Because, you know, flight or flight response is all about, and it's an ancient defense mechanism that was there to protect us from animals, basically, that may be attacking. Well, in the modern world, you know, we're still experiencing that fight-flight reaction, even though there's no actual physical danger to the body. It's all a mental reaction that's going on through stressful situations in our lives, because we are projecting either into the past or the future. I mean, regret over the past, making us, you know, worry about what we may have done wrong that we can't go back and change, or worry over the future of what may come. You know, so as long as we're in this fight or flight psychological dynamic, there's a horrible reaction going on physiologically in the body, because that not only creates illness in the body by pumping blood away from the torso, to the extremities for fight or flight response, but it also pumps blood away from the brain, and people's thought processes become diminished, and their brain actually physically suffers as a result, and then their decision making is going to be even worse. So, you know, remaining calm and thinking things through and finding time to relax is also a very huge part of maintaining that homeostasis mentally and physically that is so important when it comes to decision making and not being manipulated and understanding what's going on around you and essentially becoming involved in the dynamic to learn what's going on, reach out to others, and then start to make an impact for the betterment of the whole human condition.
You know, I've come to really believe that most people are living in kind of like an altered mental status. You know, like going into a state of shock, like when people, you know, if you have an injury and you're losing blood, and people, the first thing, you know, when a person's going into a state of shock is the altered mental status. That's like the first sign and symptom of going into shock.
Right.
And like people living in sort of a normal state of like an energy depletion. It's like, you know, the system keeping you in like fear and, you know, like uncertainty and all, right, that keeps people wanting to trample on someone else, you know, so that you know, like they're so afraid of someone maybe, you know, taking from them. I mean, that's kind of the mentality of the wars that we're you know, oh, it's like, you know, we got to get them before they get us,
right,
kind of attitude.
Yeah, I call it the victim abuse cycle. That's what it's been called traditionally in psychology, and I also refer to it as the mindset of a golem. A golem is like a creature that basically runs on just pure instinct, that looks like a human, but, you know, is operating like a flesh robot, purely on reactive instincts. And therefore, if something bad is done to me, I'm going to react and do something bad to somebody else. I'm just going to propagate that. It's part of a mindset that is all about self-loathing, a lack of self-respect, abandonment, nesting things down deep into the subconscious mind because you don't want to bring them up and confront them and deal with them. And that's what where most people are at. They're in a state where they want to run away from the self. Only when we confront the self and gain more self-knowledge can we deal with these issues. People react like this out of fear because they don't have enough knowledge. Knowledge about how anything works dispels fear. And while people remain ignorant of the psychological dynamics that are going on inside of them, they're always going to express a fear-based behavior. And that's always going to create more and more chaos in society. So when it comes down to it, ultimately the real solution and answer is always going to be more self-knowledge, more knowledge of who we really truly are. And that means knowledge of consciousness, knowledge of what's going on within us, knowledge of what's taking place around us. And that dispels fear, and that makes us understand things more clearly, and then we could take positive, responsible action. And when more of us step into that adult dynamic, instead of remaining this self-loathing, fearful child that doesn't want responsibility and wants to remain willfully ignorant, when more of us step out of that dynamic and step into the dynamic of true self-knowledge, owning our own personal responsibility, true self-respect, true self-love, and dealing directly with the nested subconscious traumas that we may have experienced in the past instead of trying to bury them, we're going to essentially build up our own inner strength to a point where we can take on more of the weight of the world, so to speak, such that we can understand what the real problems that are plaguing our species is and then actually get involved in the dynamic to turn those around for the better.
Right, and like exactly, like, you know, exploration, like self-exploration and just challenging the ways that we were taught.
Sure.
Like nobody challenges the, you know, anything that they were taught.
That's fear of the unknown. That's the comfortable lie, you know, instead of the unknown truth. Well, I'll go in the direction of the unknown truth, even though I may be a little afraid to go down that road at first. But then once you gain knowledge, the fear is dispelled, and the truth is always going to be empowering. It's never disempowering. You know, most people look at it the other way around, unfortunately. They say, well, that's unknown territory, and therefore I'm afraid, and they don't want to go down that road, and then they become shut down and fearful, and that continues their disempowerment. Only through knowledge can we empower ourselves, and self-knowledge is the ultimate form of knowledge.
Right, and you got to challenge yourself too. I mean, that's why I'm always going back to the way that nature works, because nature is very clean. You know, nature keeps itself clean. It's always refreshing and renewing, and dispelling, you know, the old and the worn out. And we're always holding on to the worn out and blocking the new and the fresh.
Sure.
You know, I mean, it's just, we're so disconnected from the way that nature works. It's
all about entropy and syntropy. You know, entropy disorders. You know, you wouldn't dream of not cleaning up the entropy on a dinner plate and then going back and eating from that same dirty plate. Well, what makes us think if we don't export the entropy like we would by cleaning, doing the dishes after a meal, you know, if we don't export the entropy from our psychological makeup or our spiritual makeup and clean it, you know, what makes us think we could possibly get any kind of a good outcome? Again, the researcher Michael Tessarion has pointed out the very telling similarity between sanitation and sanity. You know, to sanitize something, you know, means to make it clean, and, you know, to make one sane is to sanitize us. It's to clean ourselves mentally, psychologically. Right.
You do the dishes, you wash your laundry. I mean, what the hell, man? Clean out your brain once in a while.
Exactly.
But, Mark, we got to do this again.
Absolutely. This was great. Any time in the future, just let me know, and we can pick it up from there. I want to just tell everybody my website, it's whatonearthishappening.com. That's whatonearthishappening.com. I highly recommend people check out my podcasts. I always tell people, if you want to get the maximum value from the information that's on my website, go to the podcast section and listen to all of them in order from number one forward. It's a tapestry of information. information that has a lot of prerequisite knowledge in the earlier podcasts. So don't skip around. Listen to it in order at your own pace and at your own convenience. And you'll come out of that that process on the other side with an entirely new worldview and a new perspective on seeing things with fresh eyes. So whatonearthishappening.com, that's my main website, and I want to thank you for the opportunity to come on the show once again today.
Yeah, I'd love to have you back on, Mark. Thank you so much.
Catherine, thanks again. Thanks for what you do.
Okay, you too.
Take care.
Bye-bye. Please stick around. We'll be right back with Five Wallach Ack from Incarceration Nation campaign. Paula?
Off air.
Okay, I'm just trying to find...
I got the number.
Oh, yeah, we can get him on Uvu the next one. See, I don't know about Deborah. I think we should just go to Five.
Okay. Well, we can try it here, and if we get any bad air, then we can go straight to Uvu.
Catherine, Paul, I want to thank you so much for the opportunity today.
Oh, thanks, Mark.
You got it.
Loved having you, Mark.
Thanks so much. You guys are doing a great job. Take care, okay?
Yeah, you too.
All right. Bye-bye.
Peace.